We've been talking about joy. We're in the middle of a series on joy. This is part three of this. I got one more after that. We'll have a part four series. We've been talking about in Nehemiah 8:10 where it says, "For the joy of the Lord is your strength." If you possess God's, if God's joy possessed by you, it will produce strength inside of you. It's God's joy. It's not your joy that you drum up. It's the joy that the Lord has that He gives to us that allows us to face all situations and circumstances in life in an amazing way. There's a difference between the world's definition of happiness and God's definition of joy. Happiness is an emotional expression or feeling that is usually based on situations and circumstances, but is temporal, fickle, and transitory. Joy is a state of being that can be perpetuated right now. We realize the devil wants to steal our joy, so don't let him have it. We talked about the effects of joy then. The first effect we said was that God's joy is lasting and complete. He says that He wants our joy to be full. We talked about that word full means stuffed or gorged, overflowing, that your joy is sloshing over everybody else because you have so much of it. It's used over 188 times, the word joy in the scriptures, and 39 times it uses fullness of joy, or joy may be full, or full of joy, or filled with joy, or joyful. It's talking about this overwhelming joy that's supposed to just slosh out, filled to the brim, gorged, stuffed with joy. That's what we're supposed to be. We said the second effect of joy was joy trumps adversity. James knew that, and he said to count it all as joy when you fall into various kinds of trials. He said that we can choose our attitude in any situation, and he encouraged us to choose joy. You can choose that. Choose that attitude regardless of what trial you're facing, because He knows we're going to face trials. Now, let me say this. When you think about testings, those trials are to test us. How many people here are really thankful that the surgeon, before he operated on you, has been tested? Aren't you glad he passed a few tests before he got to you? Can you imagine as you were getting ready to go out and they're putting the anesthetic inside of you, and all of a sudden the doctor's coming going, "Hey, I'm so excited. I've read a number of books as you're starting to pass out. I've read a number of books. I'm so excited to do this very first time on you." And as you go out, you're going out in terror. Aren't you glad they've been through a number of tests? The tests then aren't meant for bad, but they're meant for good. And I want to read some. I want to take a little digression. I didn't read this last week, but I think it's very, very important. It's from the Bible commentary, Bible knowledge commentary. Listen to this about trials. I know I'm just reviewing still, but trials are not to be seen as tribulations, but testings. A test is given to see if a student can pass, not pass out. James gave sound advice on how to score high on every test. One who brings the right attitude to the trial, who understands the advantage of the trial, and who knows where to obtain assistance in the trial, will certainly end up on God's honor roll. Trials should not be seen. Let me say it again. Trials should not be seen as punishment, a curse, or a calamity, but something that's supposed to prompt rejoicing. James did not say that a believer should be joyous for the trials, but in the trials. Most people count it all joy when they escape trials. James said, count it all joy in the midst of those trials. I think it's really important what he's saying. Instead of letting adversity get the best of you, let joy get the best of your adversity, right? We need to practice joy. And we talked about Cody and our wounded vet back there, who's absolutely amazing. And his laughter is contagious. And I'm just so thankful that you're a part of our congregation, Cody. He drives up from Lewiston on Sundays. And I think he comes to a Bible study as well. And I just thank you for that, Cody. You're an amazing man. And you bring so much joy and laughter to me and all the people around you, because literally his joy is contagious. His laughter is contagious. And yet he's going through many, many difficulties because of the wounds he received and the shrapnel that produced a lot of damage in his life. But he's sure facing it a great way, and it's absolutely enthusiastically exciting to be around you, my friend. We talked about the third effect of joy is joy creates unction. So we're now into part three. continue. What are the effects of joy? Would you stand with me? We're going to talk about the two scriptures we're going to go through this morning. In Psalm 5, 11 through 12, you'd say it with me. Let all those rejoice who put their trust in you. Let them ever shout for joy because you defend them. Let those also who love your name be joyful in you. For you, O Lord, will bless the righteous with favor. You will surround him as with a shield. And then in Psalm 16, Psalm of David, you will show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures evermore. You may be seated. Lord, we thank you for your word. Thank you for your word because it's the thing that grounds us in everything that we do. The fourth effect I want to talk about this morning is joyful people trust God and are favored. Joyful people trust God and are favored. This first verse, the first passage you read in Psalm 5. But let those rejoice. Let them rejoice. If you rejoice, you've had joy, but now you got to rejoy it. You got to keep it going here. You got to keep the joicing going. You got to rejoice. So the joy has to keep going and going and going and going. We're going to rejoice it. We're going to rejoice. We're going to be happy. We're going to be joyful. We're going to be excited. Who are these people who put their trust in you? Let them ever shout for joy. Excuse me, I get a little excited. I get a little anxious. I mean, I think as Christians, our joy should be on display. They should look at you going, what's gotten into you? Oh, what has gotten into me? It's called the Lord Jesus Christ. He's come into my life and he has transformed me and everything that I do. Now the hardships that I see, I face them with joy because I know he's got a plan and purpose. He wants to do something. He's testing me. I'm going to grow through this and things are going to be better on the other side. We have to understand that God is for you, not against you. It's not a calamity or a judgment against you. It's an opportunity to learn and to grow and to be tested and to rejoice. He goes on to say, because you defend them. I mean, he's the biggest guy on the block and he's defending you. He's the biggest thing around and he's defending you. He's taking your side. Let those also who love your name be joyful in you. I love you, Lord. I love you. Be joyful. For you, O Lord, will bless the righteous with favor. I'm going to talk about this word a little bit later. With favor. With favor. You surround him as with a shield. The favor of God is around you. When he says those, let all those rejoice who put their trust. That word trust means to flee for protection. To confide in. To flee for protection and confide in who? God. Not something else. Not flee to something else or to look for something else for your protection. Or something else to deaden that. We usually go to all sorts of vices out there because we want to deaden the pain because we're worried about something. Instead, God says, oh, no, turn to me. Now, if you've been following our daily Bible reading that we're trying to get through, Old Testament this year. Next year we go through the New Testament, but I want all of us in the church to go through the Word. We need to have that Word in us every day. And you can get an app and it'll read it to you. It'll take you a couple of minutes. You can do it while you're putting on your makeup or your aftershave or driving your car. We need to be in the Word of God. In our reading these last few days, and Isaiah has been talking about this aspect. He was talking about how Judah was worried about the Assyrians that were coming, and so they were trying to solicit the help of Egypt. They're trying to get Egypt on their side. They needed some allies because they were worried about the Assyrians. And God says, hey, don't put your trust in them. Put it in me. They're going after trying to get the Assyrian or trying to get the Egyptians. And it's interesting because Egypt is also a type of the world. We turn to the world for solutions rather than turning to God. We turn to earthly wisdom, earthly stuff, rather than turning to heavenly stuff, heavenly power, which is so much greater than anything here. Amen. Here they were trying to turn to Egypt, and yet you know what God did? An angel goes out and kills 185,000 Assyrians with nobody's help. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, I want God on my side. He's big. He's huge. He's saying, will you put your trust in me? Confide in me. Hope in me. He wants to be the center and source of your life. That's what a relationship with Jesus Christ is all about. Therefore, we need to trust Him, believe in Him, and therefore, confide in Him. Don't turn to worldly solutions for protection. Turn to heavenly ones. And He will give you joy in the midst of it. He says that they love Him, or they shout for joy because they defend Him. This word defend, it means to entwine, to fence in, to cover over, or to protect. You see, they have this joy because God's defending them. God's protecting them. And they know He's the biggest guy around. And there's something that's interesting in this word defend I've not seen before, at least I've not noticed before. In the definition of the word defend, in this Hebrew word defend, it says, it gives a biblical reference. I've never seen that as I've looked through it. It gives Exodus 33:22. It's in the definition of the word. This, and so I thought, wow, that's interesting. So I turned to Exodus 33, verse 22, but let me give it a little backdrop first. In verse 15, God tells Moses, my presence will go with you and I will give you rest. He's talking about leading these people, and they've gone through a number of things, and it's been a little bit tough, and he's saying, hey, I just want you to know, as I lead you into the promised land, my presence will go with you and I'll give you rest. Moses says, if your presence doesn't go with us, then do not bring us up from here. I don't want to go if you're not going to go. You're not going, I'm not going. I need you to go, Lord. And he says, Moses then says, and Moses said in verse 18, please show me your glory. Please show me your glory. It's the byproduct of being God, His glory. It just radiates out from Him. You look at someone, they have a shining countenance. Well, God has glory radiating out from Him. It's who He is. That word glory, kabod, it means weight. It has a weighty, it means splendor or copiousness. Copiousness means abundance or fullness, plenty, more than enough. You see, God is more than enough for you. God is more than enough in your situation. His glory is plenteous. In verse 19, and He, God, said, I will make all my goodness, that word is also translated joy, I'll make all my joy, all my goodness pass before you, Moses, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before you. I will be gracious to whom I'll be gracious, I'll have compassion to whom I'll have compassion. But He said, you cannot see my face, for no man shall see my face and live. And the Lord said, here is a place by me, and you shall stand on the rock, so it shall be while my glory passes by, the essence of God, as it passes by in all of His glory, then I will put you in the cleft of the rock, and I will cover you. This is the word now. That word, it means to defend. I will defend and protect you. I'm going to cover you with my hand while I pass by. I can imagine this thing. I mean, I don't know if the Lord literally picked him up or he placed him there or told him where to go, but I get this idea. He's putting him right here. He's putting his hand over him like that. And the glory of God is passing by on him in an amazing way, showing that His presence is there. Because I think a part of that glory, when He says, hey, I want your presence to go with me, I think He was showing him via the glory, His presence in a manifested way. And with my hand, I will pass by. Then I will take away my hand and you'll see my back, but you won't see my face. If you look through scripture many times, nobody ever saw God. The only picture of God that we have is Jesus Christ. He put a face on God, but nobody's seen Him. And He's saying, hey, I think we'd probably melt in His presence. I don't know. I don't understand it completely. But joy comes in knowing that God has got you in the cleft of the rock or in the palm of His hand. You see, the reason we have joy is because we know in whatever problem, situation, or circumstances, whatever high and lofty thing we're going through, a tough thing or valley that we're in, He's got you in the palm of His hand. He's surrounding you with whatever's going on. He's allowing His hand to protect. He's covering. He's hovering over. He's making sure you're okay. He's making sure everything's going to be good. Everything's going to be okay. I got this. I got it. Hold on here. As His joy passes by, we're in the palm of His hand, and He will never let go of you. You see, He's more than enough for what you need in any given situation. He's with you and on your side. He's got your back. He will defend you. So let Him. Hear me. So let Him defend you. That means you've got to let Him in. You've got to let Him speak. You've got to let Him direct and guide in the midst of whatever you're going through, rather than, I'm just going to take it in my own hands. He's your defender, so let Him defend you, hide you, protect you. You know, I think sometimes God in our lives says, hey, I got this. I got this. I'm thankful He can say that sometimes to me, because you know what? I don't got it. I'm trying so hard to got it, and I can't. I don't know if you've ever been in a situation where you're trying so hard to got it all together, but you don't got it. And your joy is leaking all over the place. I'm so glad that God can say, I got this. I need that, because there's actually nothing I can do about it. Or if I try, I'll probably mess it up. It's beyond me, beyond my power to exert effort to make change. But I need divine intervention. And then we let our faith and trust in Him allow us to let go of the burden and the hurt and the pain and trust Him in His time. He will take care of it, because there is nothing that you can really do about it. Joy comes as I know that God has His hands on it. So you can let go of it. He's got it. So you need to let go of it. You see, the weight of worry about whatever the thing or issue is in your life takes away your joy. Therefore, give it to the Lord and keep your joy. You know, I know a lot of people who train their dogs to retrieve and all that kind of stuff. And, you know, fetch and all that. There's the excitement fetching that, you know, to get them to go get it. Go get it! You know, that way, no, go get it, no, go get it. Or they run past it, or they just, you know, no, go get it. And then finally grab it. Yes, we've got. And all of a sudden, come on. And then they come back. Now there's the other part, right? Let go of it. You go, all right, think of it. I mean, you're trying to get it back from them, right? It's that, got it, now you gotta let go of it. Drop it. Want to hold on to it. We've got to drop it. We have to drop it. We have to let go of it. And let me say it this way, and hopefully this will make sense. Don't surrender your joy to the devil, but surrender your problem to the Lord. Don't surrender your joy to the devil, but surrender your problem to the Lord. If you hold on to the issue, you're going to lose your joy. If you let go and give it to the one who is greater than all of us, He'll keep it. 1 Peter 5, 6, and 7, it says, therefore humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time. Casting, that means to throw upon, throw it. All, not some of them, a part of them, three quarters of them, all of them. Casting all your cares. That word care in the Greek means distractions or solicitudes. And solicitudes are causes of anxiety. Do you have any causes of anxiety in your life? Things that make you go, oh, I'm a little nervous about that. He says, throw them all. Throw them all on Him. Throw them all upon Him. Why? Because He cares for you. Now that's a different care. That second one, He cares for you, is a different care. I love it because it's, in the Greek, the word is, the way you pronounce it is, mellow. a great word, you know. What are you doing? I'm just mellowing out. How do you do that? I'm throwing my cares on Jesus. Amen. How's life going? I'm just chilling. I love it. Mellow. Mellow. It means to be of interest to concern. And it says this in the definition. It matters. It matters to God. What you're going through matters to God. You matter to Jesus. And what you're going through matters to Him. Therefore, give it to Him. Drop it. Let it go. And hold on and keep your joy. I can't give it all to Him. I mean, He can't carry that much. What? We do that. I don't want to give it all. Just give Him. I got to hold on to some. That is such a lie. He can handle everything. Much better than you can handle it by far. Give it to Him. But it seems like tough things happen. And I know that there's those times where we cry out. Where we cry, we're affected by it. We're affected by it. If we weren't affected by it, it meant nothing to us. So sure, the emotion, the cry, the angst, the gosh, Lord. But it says in Psalm 34 and 5, this is David who wrote this again. Sing praise to the Lord, you saints of His. Give thanks at the remembrance of His holy name. For His anger is but for a moment. That word moment, that moment here in the Greek is, or in the Hebrew is, the definition is wink. It's a wink of an eye. That fast. A moment. You know? So quick. So quick. A short space of time. His favor is for life. And He says, weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. I understand that we go through things that cause us in the night. Oh, man, Lord. He's saying, but joy is there. Joy is there. Joy is there. I told you I'd come back to this word favor. It's also found here. His favor is for life. Whoa! That's pretty cool, I think. His favor on you is for life. The word favor means to be pleased with. To satisfy a debt. That's the definition. To satisfy a debt. Is that not the gospel? He satisfied your debt of sin? That He paid the payment for it? And therefore, you don't think that makes us joy? You don't think you're favored? And that favor produces joy because He canceled your debt? He didn't just cancel, He just go, oh, I can't. He paid it. He went through it. He endured it for the joy set before Him. He endured the cross. He did it. That's amazing. He was pleased to die for you. It wasn't a bummer. He wasn't going, oh, this is a bummer deal. Crazy folks out there messing around, sinning all over the place. Somebody has to pay for them. You should be ashamed of yourself. That's not what He does. He says, I know it's tough. I know there's a lot of temptation. I walked in it. I felt all that. I know what it's like. But you know what? When I went there, there was a joy set before me. Was it hard? Did I have to endure something? Yes. Was it scary? Yes. All of those things, but you know, in my heart, in my mind, I wasn't looking at you going, why did you make me do this? Why did you sin? Why? He said, I'm doing this because I love you. I have this great joy. I know what's going to happen when I get done with this. This is going to be so exciting. I'm going to free you. I'm going to take the ball and chain off. You see, it was His delight. It was His joy. To give you favor, and it's that favor that gives us joy. Enjoy it. Be thankful for it. I think sometimes when we're bummed at stuff, we need to go back and remember what we got saved from. What we got saved from. I remember a guy, and I think about this, and I go up to the water tower before on Sunday, and I pray, and one of the things the guy encouraged, he says, whenever you get up to preach, remind yourself of what it was like to get saved. Remember what it was like when Jesus Christ came into your life and forgave you of all your sins, impart that feeling to the people. Favor. 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 Your favor. You're His favorite! Favor in the dictionary means an act of kindness beyond what is due or usual. An act of kindness beyond what is due or usual. I want to share a story here, and I think if you saw the game, not this Saturday, but last Saturday, wasn't that a great game? I mean, it's just fun watching us blow people apart. And of course, we're just going to keep going. But last week, we played Oregon State, and the quarterback got hurt. And I just want to read something. Oregon State quarterback Jake Luton, he also was at U of I. He transferred out of U of I back over to Oregon State. Oregon State quarterback Jake Luton had a frightening experience last weekend when he was hospitalized after a brutal hit to the head knocked him unconscious. Following the hit, the Beavers, anyway, it says here that they lost to Washington State. Luton was removed from the field on a stretcher and taken to a hospital where he was later diagnosed with a fractured spine. Luton's injury is luckily not considered all that serious. It's fractured, it's cracked, but it's not all that serious, and he was released from the hospital. After a scary night in the hospital this past Saturday, this is Jake. He's writing this on his blog or tweet or whatever. After a scary night in the hospital this past Saturday in Pullman, I was blessed to be able to walk out on my own two feet. Once I was released, which was late in the night, I was greeted by 20-plus family and friends who waited outside for me to come out. There, along with my family, was a little boy named Silas, 2 years old, going on three, and his mother, Mrs. Hubbard. I had never met this boy before, but I wished he knew how much he impacted my life that night. His mother told me that he had watched me on TV and insisted that they bring me a cupcake and make sure that I was okay. This act of kindness not only is what sports are all about, but life in general. During a night of pain and uncertainty, this little boy stayed up past his bedtime and went out of his way to come to the hospital and bring me a cupcake. He goes on to say, "Someday I won't remember every play and every game that I've been a part of, but I'll always remember you and the love and kindness that you showed me on that night. Thank you, Silas." Jake Luton. Now, the rest of the story is interesting. If anyone knows about a scary night in the hospital, Silas does. That little boy, he had a stroke in utero a day or two before he was born. "I had an uncomplicated pregnancy up until I noticed he hadn't been moving much," said his mom. His mom had an emergency C-section. When Silas was born, he had suffered hearing loss. They told him he was profoundly deaf in the right ear and had moderately to severe loss in his left ear. Silas also has to wear special footwear and a splint for one of his arms. Mrs. Hubbard said he has been wearing hearing aids since he was 8 months old. Despite this, Silas is a smart, charming, and energetic little boy. By all accounts, he will grow up and continue to touch the lives of those around him with joy and kindness. Man, I'll tell you what, this 2-year-old little boy, I think, understands what years of us trying to seek the Lord are trying to grasp about what it means to have joy and to impart it to a world around us that needs it so desperately. In the scripture here, I said that anger is but for a moment, but His favor is for life. Anger is a moment, a wink. Therefore, God's anger or discipline or on your case or what you feel like He's doing is for a very short time, but His favor is long. To say God never gets angry is not correct, But God is loving at his core, who can get angry for a moment. Not God is angry at his core, who can get loving for a moment. He's loving. You see, but the other aspect is this, that God's anger is not selfishly motivated. When we get mad, all of our anger usually is selfishly motivated about something that affects us. But God, in his anger, it's a righteous thing. It's all bigger than that. It's not because, oh, you hurt me. Oh, I hate you now. It's, dude, hey, there's a big picture we got to show. There's something beyond that. He's trying to do something for you, not for him. Be angry and don't sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath, nor give place to the devil. God is addressing our motive in anger. Is it selfish or selfless? Most of the times we get angry because we're selfish and stuff. Weeping happens. It happens. Tough stuff happens. But joy is coming in the morning. And when the joy, when the going gets tough, the tough get joy. Get it. Hold on to it. Let go of that which is tough and let the Lord carry it. Number five, and we'll bring this to a conclusion here. Number five, the fifth effect. Is joy is respective of God's presence. Joy is respective of God's presence. Where God's presence is, there lies the impetus and provision of joy. They go together. In Psalm 16:11, this is the Old Testament. This is written by King David. You will show me the path of life. You'll show me how life works. You'll show me that. You're going to show me the path of life. What to do, what not to do. What to stay away from, what to get involved in. You're going to show me this path of life as I walk with you. You're going to show me. And then he starts to give us a clue here too. In your presence is fullness of joy. In the presence of God Almighty is this fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures for how long? For how long? For how long?
Forever.
Forever. Holy cow. Peter picks this up in Acts 2:28 because he refers back to the scripture. In Acts 2:28, he says this. He's preaching when Pentecost, after Pentecost fell, and the Holy Spirit was moving, and he's preaching and thousands are getting saved. It's dawning a new day of excitement about God and his kingdom, the presence of God. And he says, you have made known to me the ways of life. You will make me full of joy in your presence. Your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. Joy comes from God and his presence, not from stuff and circumstances. The word presence here means the face. The part that turns to appear. It's interesting that the word presence speaks of the face, which is an Old Testament you couldn't see. But I think God wants us to see something. God's presence doesn't change, but our awareness of his presence does. So, his presence is always eternal. He's omnipresent. He's always here. But our awareness, sometimes we get lost in the things of this world. He's encouraging us to stay aware, not to be oblivious. That's why we come to church. That's why we worship God. That's why we try to hear words of encouragement, to remember who he is. I want God in my life. I want to walk in joy. I want to walk in his principles. I want to be more like him. I want you to connect more of the dots of who I am, Lord. Who I am in you. Who I am for you. And we do that by coming together, hearing the word, being inspired, worshiping God, letting him know that he's awesome. Reminding ourselves again, it was a tough week, but I got an amazing God. Gives out joy. Joy is to come from the presence of God and our relationship with him. Pleasures forevermore. They never stop. The pleasure and joy just keep on going and 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 going forever. That's God's promise to you. His pleasures will be forevermore. forevermore. Now hear this. Sin is not the epitome of pleasure. God's presence is. Hear this. In Hebrews 11:25, we're talking about Moses, where it said, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. You see, the enemy, what he offers us, sin, is pleasurable, but it always is short-lived. It's always short-lived. It has a period. God's pleasure has a dot, dot, dot. It's ongoing. Man's pleasure, sin, with that dot, at the end of the dot, you're going to pay up for something that you used over here. Because you get it for free, and you pay it on the back end. There is pleasure in sin, but it only lasts for a season, for a moment. And then you have to pay for it. Pleasure in sin for a season, for a moment. But there is pleasure in God's presence that lasts forever and ever and ever. And on that end, you pay nothing for it, because Jesus Christ paid it all for you. You don't have to pay. You have to pay for the pleasure of sin that only lasts for a moment. You pay nothing for the pleasure of being in God's presence that goes on and on and on and on and on. Let me say it again. Sin is not the epitome of pleasure. God's presence is. God's presence is. Your presence, Lord. I want to live, I want to dwell, I want to enjoy the presence of God. I want to live in that state of relationship with Him, where He's the first thing that I think about in the day, the last thing I think about when I go to bed at night. That I'm just thinking about the Lord, His plan, His purpose, His joy, His excitement. Although there's difficulties and there's trials, but understanding them from God's perspective causes us to realize, wow, you're going to change me. The enemy goes, oh, he doesn't like you. He's mad at you. Hey, let me show you where the real pleasure is. It's a lie. I'll conclude this with scripture in Jude 24 and 25. There's only one chapter, so we don't give the one in it. Jude verses 24-25. Now to Him who is able to keep you from stumbling. Thank you, Jesus. And to present you faultless. Thank you, Jesus. I don't even know that we can comprehend those two concepts right there. I can't. Before the presence of His glory, He's going to present you faultless. Before the presence of His glory in heaven with exceeding joy. To God our Savior, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen. It's going to be one glorious experience, seeing Him face to face. And you're going to experience exceeding joyfulness, because Jesus paved the way for us to enjoy heaven, eternity, forever. But while we're here, He also paved the way for us to have joy, unspeakable joy that doesn't make sense to the world, because our joy isn't in the things of the world, but in that which is eternal. Father, thank You. Thank You for the joy You give us. Help us, help me, Lord, to understand how to enjoy it 24/7. Not to lose joy, but to let go of issue. To place it on Your back. To let You handle it. You got it. to trust you with it. And then, Lord, let that joy so infect us as a church that everywhere we go, we are sloshing it all over everybody. And then in the process, we're changing the spiritual climate of a city, all because of what Jesus Christ did for us 2,000 years ago on the cross. And for that, Lord, we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. If you don't know the Lord, may I encourage you, come up here. Maybe you need to rededicate your life. Come on up here. Don't be embarrassed. Don't be ashamed. Because God has joy unspeakable for you. Just come. Maybe you need prayer for something. Prayer for healing. Prayer for an issue. Prayer to let go of something. You're not supposed to do it by yourself. We cast it upon the Lord, but we have other people around us to help us get it over there on them if we need be. Sometimes you're going, I can't even throw it. I feel so weak in this deal. All right, that's why we have a church body. Go, let's gather together. We're going to huck this thing out of here. We need other people. That's called the church. We need one another so much. That's what we're here for. Chuck it. Let it go. Some things before you leave here today might encourage you, think about those joy robbers, and then huck it toward the Lord. If you need help, come on up here. They'll help throw it. They'll help throw it. God bless you. We got one more in the series here that we'll end with next week. After that, we've got an amazing demonstration, true stories that we can all identify with and realize that God is so good to us, and what He did to change what we thought was going to be our baggage forever, He snipped it away and gave us a new name. And that is awesome. After we do that, we'll do that. Then the next week, I'm going to talk to you a message about redefined, what it means. Then after that, we're going to get into a series on the Reformation. It's our 500th year anniversary of the Reformation. We're going to talk about, what does that mean? What is it? We're going to talk about some of the history, some of the aspects of it. What is justification by faith? Why was that such a powerful thing that was described back then? What was going on? So we're going to get into that for a couple of weeks. We'll do a couple of weeks series on that. I just want you to know this, though. You guys mean so much to Carrie and I. We love you so very much. And we always consider it a privilege and an honor to be able to stand up before you, to declare the word of God, and to realize that we're all in this together. Thank you for being so awesome. God bless you. You're dismissed.